Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
You know, several years ago, I was invited to travel down to Fiji to meet up with a group of pastors down there and do some training. And while I was down there, they invited me to a crazy, crazy game that's a lot different than football called rugby, right? And so when I was watching the game, it was really an incredible experience. There was all kinds of energy. There was only three of us that were not Fijians in a crowd of over 15,000 people. You can imagine that. Quite an experience. But really the hang-up in the whole thing for me was that I didn't understand the purpose of the game rugby. So here I am trying to holler and cheer and do all the stuff with all the rest of the fans, but I did not understand the purpose of the game. I missed the central point of the whole event. And I don't know about you, but sometimes at Christmas, we can miss the central point of the entire event. We can get so caught up in all of the things that go on with Christmas, the meals and the gifts and everything, that we forget the central point of the celebration of Christmas. It's important for us because, you know, we have to prepare ourselves, or I believe that God would want us to prepare ourselves so that we could celebrate it really based on his purposes and his desires. Why did Jesus come in the first place? That's the question that we need to remember here, is why did he come in the first place? You know, the prophets of old, Isaiah included, some 700 years before the birth of the Christ, the Messiah, prophesied. And as we read just a moment ago, in Isaiah 7:14, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And the Jews waited long, many years, in great anticipation, in expectation for this coming of their Messiah. And really, they were looking forward to him coming because he would save them from their many problems. You know, they thought that the biggest problem they had was Rome, because Rome taxed them in a very heavy way and had a iron fist the way that they ruled their land, and life was not easy for them. It wasn't easy, but the problem was not the Roman Empire. They had missed the true purpose of the event, why the Messiah was actually coming. And I believe for us, it's not hard for us to miss and get caught up in the same kind of thinking. If he would just fix or change whatever that is in our lives, then our lives would be easier. Or maybe it's, if I could just get through this situation, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's bankruptcy, maybe it's a divorce or a blown-up relationship. If I could just get through this, everything would be fine. Or if I own this, maybe it's the latest and greatest boat, RV, home, jacuzzi on the back porch, whatever that is for us, if we could just get that, then we would be content. Do you guys believe that? I mean, it's really smoke and mirrors. Like, all this stuff that our world offers us is oversold and it's underdelivered. And so we reach this point where we realize, hey, this stuff is kind of elusive. In reality, Israel's biggest problem, as I said a moment ago, was not Rome. It was the sin that was deeply embedded in their souls. They had become hard-hearted and turned their backs on God. It's the same problem that we see that started all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve when they were deceived, that God was not sufficient for everything that they needed. And it's the same problem that we experience and face today in our world. And the truth is, we each have a sin problem, a virus that we are incapable of fixing, curing, or eliminating on our own. A virus that is a relational wrecker with God and with those closest to us that we love. You know, the genesis of the hurt and the pain, the evil that we experience on planet Earth in life comes from sin. It's clear in Scripture. Well, Paul, the apostle, in his letter to the Christians in Rome, says this: For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short. Who's the all? All, right? We all have. You know, in the Greek, the word for sin means to miss the mark. And it's a real visual picture that when we miss the mark, we fall short of God's standard. I was shooting pistols with a really good friend of mine the other day. We do it on a regular basis. And I could not hit the right side of a barn. Do you know what the right side of the barn is, by the way? It's the biggest part of the target. And my friend Scott, he was keyholing and shooting really, really well. He didn't shoot perfectly, but he shot really, really well. And here I am, and I'm missing the mark, and I'm a head case, and I don't know what to do. And I was thinking about the fact that this is a picture. When Paul says that we have all sinned, we have all missed the mark. You may have a good day, but you can't string a lot of good days together before something happens, right? You guys get what I mean. Sin. The purpose of Christmas lies in understanding our sin and our need for a Savior. If we leave out sin, we leave out the true meaning of Christmas, the purpose for why Jesus came as a baby in the manger. It's pretty convicting with all the noise going on around Christmas to remember the purpose. Jesus came to be the sacrifice for our sin. He came to save us from our sin. And he came to offer us abundant life, eternal life. All super important. Each gives us an opportunity to live rightly before and with God in his true peace and purpose. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for our sin problem. Remember when Jesus came, John the Baptist was baptizing in John 1. And what did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Have you ever stopped and gone, how does he take away the sins of the world? Do they just disappear and evaporate when we give our lives to the Lord? What happens? Where does the sin go? This is really important. Especially when we see all of our cute Christmas cards about the baby in the manger. He came to be the perfect sacrifice. Sin had to be put somewhere. And the Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthian church, says this: God made him, that's the Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us. I want you to think about this for a minute. Christ did not become a sinner. God put our sin on Christ. Paul says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And if you listen carefully to this text, you see that there's a great exchange taking place here. Jesus was born to be the only sacrifice capable of paying our debt for our sin. I mean, we have a picture of a holy and righteous God whose standard is perfect and we fall short. Jesus grew up to be the only sinless, holy, perfect sacrifice that could satisfy God's justice, his holy standard. We can't achieve God's perfect standard in our own righteousness. Anybody in here tried? Man, I want to be really good at this, and you try and you try and you try. Scott the other day was trying to help me get off the right side of the barn and hit the target, and he couldn't. We try, but we're incapable. And therefore, Jesus stepped into our world to become the perfect sacrifice, to take our penalty, to die the death we deserved on the cross. That's the Easter story. In exchange, we were credited his righteousness. Who got the good deal here, you guys? Anybody? We did. Unbelievable. Jesus says this to his disciples in Mark 10. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I don't know about you guys, but this word ransom has really troubled me over the years. It's pretty profound if you think about it. A ransom is something given to release someone from captivity or punishment. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for sinners, as the perfect payment for sinners. What more could communicate God's great love than what Christ has done for us? There's nothing. Nothing. If you think about this ransom, it's a sacrificial offering that we see lived out on the cross for each and every one of us that would choose Christ as our Lord and Savior. Romans 5:8 says this is the Apostle Paul, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That text implies something really important. When Paul says, while we were still sinners, what Paul is saying is, while you were still enemies of God, while you were still separated from God, while you were still incapable of doing anything righteous, Christ initiated, he died for us. You guys, this is the good news, right? It's the gospel. Not only did he pay for our sin, but he's the only one that can save us from our sin. That's so profound to me. Matthew 1:21 says this. This is Matthew explaining the birth of Christ. Shelley read part of this scripture. She, meaning Mary here, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. The name Jesus means God saves. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save, he will rescue, he will deliver, he will heal his people from their sins. That's the picture we get. And the whole Bible is full of this. It's this narrative. It's this complete transparent story about God's incredible mercy and his grace and his loving kindness extended towards his people. But it's not the whole story. There's another part of the story that reveals how often we as people step in it or step in a hole and we can't get ourselves out of it. I believe there is a story for each and every one of us about sin played out in our lives for every day of the week in the Bible. And in some cases, it's every hour of every day in the week. You ever had a week like that? The The story helps us see clearly our standing. And I wanted to give you guys a picture of this. If you and a loved one were in a gigantic ditch or a hole, I mean, you think about a hole that is so big that you have no tools in the hole, you have no ladder in the hole, there is nothing that you have that will get you out of the hole. Remember, you've sinned, you've missed the mark, you can't hit the target. And you're in this hole, and you're in there with a loved one, and so you turn to your loved one and you say, "Help me get out of this hole." And they turn to you and go, "How can I help you? You help me get out of this hole." And we could sit there and lob back and forth and play tennis with each other about, "Help me get out of this hole." But the only way out of the hole is to look up. To look up outside of our ability. That's the picture of Jesus saving us. That we cry out to him, and he extends his hand of grace to us. That's the picture that the Bible gives us of our condition and our need for a Savior. How are we to be saved from sin? I guess is the question. We talked about the fact that Jesus had to be the perfect sacrifice to satisfy our debt for sin. But there's something that God calls us to relating to salvation. Luke 5 says this, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Why repentance, you might ask? Why? Why do I have to repent? Because repentance acknowledges that I need to change my thinking and my view on God. Because you can sit in that hole and say, "I don't need God," and you can wear yourself out trying to work yourself out of the hole. But repentance says, I got to have a change of mind and a change of heart about where I am and who extends the offer to me. Repentance acknowledges that I can't fix my sinful condition in my heart. It acknowledges that I need Jesus to save me from myself through faith. Anyone else in here? Repentance is an active step to turn from self-rule and allow Jesus to sit on the throne of our lives. Self-rule. We get comfortable in self-rule until we get into a hole and then we cry out. That's the story of the Bible. Oh God, help me, help me, help me. Repentance. It's a change of mind. It's turning towards God. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." This grace, this gift of salvation that the Lord extends to us, we can't earn. Can't earn it. Doesn't matter how hard we try. But we do have a response to it, and it's called faith. Faith is the only means for us to take hold of grace. Do you realize that? You can't earn that gift from God. You have to receive it through faith. Faith is so important. And Jesus extends salvation, this free gift that we can't earn called grace, through faith, through our response to it, by reaching out and letting him save us. Well, what does that require? Repentance, humility, an acknowledgement that I need to be saved. Our salvation leads to abundant life. You ever think about that? So often we look at the John 3:16 text that I'm about to read to you, and we think, boy, I get saved, and then I can do whatever I want on planet Earth because eternity is promised to me. But hold on. It goes much further than that. You realize you were created in God's image? And because you were created in God's image, you have been hardwired to be in relationship with God for eternity. And God actually has a plan for you in your life. I want to read John 3:16 through 18 to you here for a minute. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world, listen to this, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That is the purpose for Christmas. Jesus, the Christ, born in a feeding trough, in the most austere conditions, the most just poor conditions, came into the world so radically different than what anyone else thought, but with real purpose. Do you realize that salvation is not fire insurance? It's not. We have been saved for a purpose. When we live out his will, we will have abundant life. Well, what's his will? All right, let's talk about abundant life for a minute first. What does it mean? It means to have peace and purpose in our lives. That's what abundant life, we love eternity, but peace and purpose is part of that eternal plan of God's. That we live with him for eternity, but that doesn't mean we get to a pass here and we check out here. We have peace with God because we are no longer separated from him. We are no longer enemies because of our sin. Why? Because of the great exchange. He took our sin upon himself and then imputed or gave to us his righteousness. Peace with God. But what about the peace of God? Anybody in here want the peace of God on a regular basis? Right? Yeah, a couple of you do. That's good. The peace of God. And this is what I know about the peace of God. Because we're hardwired in his image, because he knows everything about us so intimately, he knows your past, he knows exactly where you are right now, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. And he says, because I love you and I'm asking you to trust me, then faith is living out within the reality that God's in control and he has what's best for our lives. So we have peace with God when we receive him as Lord and Savior because we no longer have a debt over our head because of our sin. We have the peace of God because he loves us and he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Long before he was born in a feeding trough, he had plans for my life and each of yours. Do you believe that? We are saved to glorify God and to share his light with others. His light. Abundant life means in a dark world, we walk in supernatural light. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to say something. Doesn't mean that life isn't hard. Doesn't mean that all of our problems go away. This isn't a sales job. But the reality of it is, abundant life means that he knows what's best and he has a plan, and if we stick to his plan, his purposes, and his will for our lives will go as good as he sees fit. And he's a good God. Amen? John 8:12 says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You guys, you're not here by accident today. I mean, yeah, you may have thought, well, I'm coming to church and it's the time of year I need to come. But you know what? If you're not a Christian in here today, God wants relationship with you. He loves you. He's created you. And he wants you to come home. He wants you to surrender your life. He wants you to repent and believe. And even though that offer sounds like too good to be true, there is nothing else on earth that will satisfy your unquenchable desire and longing that you have in your heart other than Christ Jesus. Nothing. And if you're a Christian here today and you're gonna go have a great dinner tonight, great, do it. You're gonna open gifts tonight or tomorrow morning, great, do it. Let's just remember what the purpose of the baby, the Messiah, the Christ coming to earth was all about. And then everything else kind of just fits into place, right? But let's have a heart of gratitude and a desire to go, Lord, thank you that you sent your only son to offer us forgiveness from sin, salvation, and everlasting life. Father God, I am so grateful that you sent your son. I am so grateful that you did it in such a way that it was free. Not free from pain and suffering, but free from my works. Because Lord, you know how many times I tried to be good. Father, you're the good one. And those of us who are in Christ Jesus today, thank you that we can stand before our Heavenly Father because of your righteousness, your grace. Lord, would you strengthen us today to be your light to our families, to our neighbors, and to the world around us. Thank you for sending your son. And all God's people said, amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.